Second half hour, who's talking? Jim Hobgood, Frank Maloney, and Michael Tusky with you. And Frank now is going to give you the introduction of our next guest.
We're very fortunate tonight to have head lacrosse coach Dom Starcio with us. Coach has been at UVA. This is his 19th season in Charlottesville after 10 years at Brown. He is now, I believe, only 8 wins away from tying the all-time NCAA wins career record. So this is sort of a countdown year for Coach, but I know he's not thinking about that. He's thinking about Stony Brook Seawolves, which are this coming Saturday at 12 noon. Anyhow, Coach, are you there?
I am there, Frank. Thanks very much. You're aging me there a little bit, Frank.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You've done okay. So much. I held
hey,
back.
Coach, this is Hobbo. I'm the one that's aged.
It's a trend that's going to continue, I'm afraid.
Yeah, there's old and then there's really old.
That's okay. Hobbo's just a grandfather. It's no big deal. Oh. All right, Coach, have about 200 questions, but we're going to try to nail it down to a few key topics. All right, new leadership this year. Maybe you can address, you know, the fact you've got some new captains in Stanwyck, Haldy, Gittleman, and who else? Malpras.
And Bree Malpras.
Yeah. So you got 4 new captains, and what sort of vibe are you getting from those young men?
Well, you know, the senior class came in as a much acclaimed class. You know, one of the leading publication for McCall's lacrosse, Inside Lacrosse, you know, dubbed them the greatest recruiting class ever 4 years ago. And so there was an awful lot of weight put on their shoulders right off the bat. And, you know, these last 3 years we've been an NCAA semifinal team. We won the ACC championship this past spring, and yet there's a strong sense of sort of unfinished business for these guys overall. And so I think there is a much sharper focus amongst those guys in terms of what we've been able to do in preparation for the season. And then just in terms of Steele Stanwyck, I think it speaks to his status amongst his peers that with a big senior class, you know, that the kids voted Steele as one of the captains. He's a junior this year, and you know, so I feel like we've got really good leadership, and I think that's always the first piece of this puzzle. And my job, frankly, is to try to deflect some of those expectations, especially early in the year, because, you know, Drexel and Mount St. Mary's are now going to Stony Brook. I want these guys to enjoy this, to cherish this moment, and not be preoccupied with the end of the season, because you get down that far down the road, and, you know, sometimes you don't have the control over that last moment, and there's just too many of these, of these good events that we've got to take part in before we get there, and I want them to also be able to smell these roses a little bit, so to speak.
All right, Coach, a couple of thoughts here. And listeners, we're talking to Dom Starcio, the head lacrosse coach at UVA. Looking at the schedule, as usual, a tough, challenging schedule. You're playing some big-time teams. After Stony Brook, which is only ranked number 5 in the nation, return home to play VMI at home, and then you've got Syracuse on the road, a game that was moved to Friday so that it could air on ESPNU. Then you've got the Minolta Faceoff Classic March 12th against Cornell, and it goes on and on with all the other big hitters. It looks like the sort of the season builds for you as you approach ACC schedule. What are your thoughts going into the schedule?
Well, I would tell you that it's very stressful for the coaching staff. You know, when I'm standing in the month of January and looking at our schedule, it's hard to pick out the wins as you look down the road. And even these first couple of games, you know, people that have been, you know, have been away from the game for a couple of years might look at a first week and look at Drexel and Mount St. Mary's and Stony Brook and say, "Ha, Dom, you're starting off kind of soft." And I think knowledgeable lacrosse people know that's not nearly the case. Drexel and Mount St. Mary's both much improved, and Stony Brook, you know, I think people are well aware of what we're getting into going up to Long Island this weekend. And so, you're right, you come back and you've got Syracuse and Cornell and Ohio State, who just beat North Carolina and the ACC and Johns Hopkins. And so it doesn't make our lives easier. But at the same time, I would tell you that we use it in the recruiting. And we tell kids that if you want to come and play the best lacrosse teams in the country every year, you know, that this is the place you can do it. And I don't think anybody can offer the breadth of the schedule and the challenge that we have schedule-wise. So you can't have it both ways. If we're going to use it in the recruiting and try to attract the kids that want to come and compete with in this kind of setting, then we've just got to go out and take care of our business once the season starts, and that's the way we do feel about it.
Coach, maybe an X and O question here. I noticed in the write-up of the Mount St. Mary game that Chris LaPierre had his first opportunity at faceoffs and was 4 out of 5. I think even a casual lacrosse fan knows how important faceoffs are. So I guess my question is, how do you determine who's going to be in that role and how many people do you like to have in that situation?
Well, if you have one really good one, then that can often be enough. But you can't expect much more from that person if he's going to take every face-off. Facing off can be very taxing over the course of an entire game. And if you have a high-scoring game and you got that many more face-offs, it's even that much tougher yet. And we need Chris to do so many different things for us. I mean, he's also our leading ground ball guy. You know, he's probably our best defensive midfielder. He's our best midfielder running up the field in transition. He's going to be an offensive player here before it's all said and done. And so he gives us an option at the midfield. He presents a completely different look than the other face-off guys that we have. So we throw him out there, and it's a change-up, really, because he doesn't really have any technique, frankly. But if he can just keep the ball loose, he's such a good athlete that he can often pick up the ground ball. And we ran into some situations last year that we felt like in those loose ball scrums that we got a little bit out-athleted in some of those situations. So we began to work with Chris early in the year so that we could throw him out in those different situations and hopefully make a play for some ball. So he's off to a good start, and we'll probably use him more as the season goes on. But I hope that we don't have to have him be exclusively be our face-off guy.
You know, Coach, I was at the Drexel game, and I thought your team showed a lot of guts and toughness, particularly coming down to the wire there in the fourth period. Let's talk about those face-off men. Normally, Brian McDermott is your regular, most face-off situation guy. He's been injury-prone, and you've also got Benin Casa and also Garrett Innes. And now you're rotating LaPierre in there, who, as you said, is almost your Swiss Army knife. How do you see this playing out? Because obviously face-offs are very important in the game.
Yeah, you know, we've been a little bit of a face-off by committee team for the last couple of years, and then we've sort of started out that way again. And I think we're going to go into most games, given especially those three guys, McDermott, Benin Casa, and Ince, a shot at it, and then see what develops. You know, you often can kind of tell whether or not you're going to get into a little bit of a rhythm facing off with one particular guy or another. For instance, our Stony Brook game last year, it was close at halftime. We were about 50-50 facing off, and we really gave Ryan Benin Casa his first extended face-offs in that game, and I think he was 10 of 13 in the second half and had a lot to do with us pulling that game out. And so, you know, I'm not really trying to avoid the question. I think we're going to continue to use these different guys until we see what develops in the course of a game. You know, of course, somebody getting hurt would answer some of those things for us. But I don't think we have one guy that kind of stands out head and shoulders above the others, and I think they all sort of deserve a chance to get out there and see what they can do.
All right. Clearly, the strength of your teams, and if anything, I think the signature aspect of Virginia lacrosse is the fast break speed over the years, and this year's team is no different. You've got the Bratton brothers, you've got Steele Stanwyck and Connor English and Chris Bocklet and Haldy and all these guys and LaPierre, and you could put so much pressure on another team's defense with the long-range shooting, the behind-the-goal passing, and so forth. Talk about what you're trying to do maybe a little bit more this year for the average listener who's trying to learn a little bit more about lacrosse.
Yeah, well, we're a team that we are an athletic team, and it's, you know, it goes back to my background in the game, and I was an athlete in the game who came a little late to lacrosse, didn't pick it up till college, and we've always looked for those kind of guys that can kind of separate a little bit with speed and quickness. I've always said that. I'm always looking for people that can move their feet first in the recruiting, and if you got those kind of guys, then you want to, you know, kind of get the ball up and get it up the field. You know, it's very similar to basketball. We're going to try to get down and strike on offense before you have a chance to get organized on defense. We have the athletic ability in the middle of the field to be able to do that this year, and I think we'll continue to do that. At the same time, we're good enough offensively that we don't have to settle for the first thing that shows. And one of the common themes, you know, for us, especially early in the year, is going to be to have a little patience on offense. I think we have a sense that we can make something happen, you know, in the first 5 seconds of a possession, and we really, when we exercise a little patience and work with it, we can often get a really, really good opportunity. And so, you know, I think in the first two games, we've done a good job offensively. We need to continue to be able to do that. But, you know, the goal would be to try to continue to recruit the kind of athletes that allow us to, you know, kind of push the pace of the game. You know, you're playing against a Drexel or Mount St. Mary's. Hopefully we can get in and get up behind them before they have a chance to get organized. And you know, that's certainly the kind of team that we've always been, and we'll continue to strike quickly if we can.
Yeah, transition opportunity is important in both lacrosse and basketball.
Sure,
but defense is two, coach, and I guess defense starts between the pipes. Talk a little bit about your two goaltenders.
Yeah, well, we've had both goalies have played this year so far. Adam, we return Adam McGittleman. We're a young team at the defensive end, and I don't mean to serve that up as an easy excuse, but we just have some new people playing there. We graduated four guys that gave us a lot of good minutes during the course of their career this past year. So that's where we have our inexperience at that end of the field. But I draw some comfort from especially from having Adam Gittleman in the goal, who was a third-team All-American a year ago and has essentially been, you know, our starter almost throughout his career, you know, so that, you know, he is also at the point where he understands what we're trying to do defensively, you know, almost like having a coach on the field, and so it's just a real asset. And then we needed to have Rob Fortunato step up in the first game and play for us, and you know, boy, in his first significant minutes out there, and Rob did a great job, and so he was picked as the ACC Defensive Player of the Week this week, and I think everybody on the team was happy for us to get the win, certainly, but to have Rob play a key role in that, and that's what being part of a team is all about, that sometimes you need different people to step up and contribute, and we feel like we've got some depth in some different positions. We could turn to somebody different, and so, you know, I could say, you know, we happen to be 2-0 right now, and I thought Adam played very well last night in the game against Mount St. Mary's, and Rob got us off to a good start.
You know, going back to that Drexel game, in the fourth period, I thought Fortunato made some huge stops. I think he even used his helmet to make a heck of a save.
Yep.
Pretty late. He took one right on the forehead on a wicked shot.
It's not how, but how many.
Yeah, that's right. How many fingers are we holding up there? Now, one of your defensemen, I believe, is it Clements, was injured, and he's returned this year?
Clements has been injured sort of throughout his career. He had a serious knee surgery, ACL repair, and had some cartilage damage, and he missed almost 2 years with that, and he's just coming back this year, and spent the fall as a midfielder, actually, and in the wintertime, you know, because of our inexperience on defense and a little bit of a lack of depth there, I called him and said, I need to talk to you, Clem, and so he came over to see me and walked in the door of my office, and I said, do you think you're in trouble? And he said, no, I don't think so. I said, no, you're not in trouble. I said, but I got to give you a long pole, Clem. I need you to play defense for us, and so we switched him back before the first practice in January, and he's really taken to it and does give us an experienced hand back there, and even I was surprised. I think he probably jumped off the page at a lot of people who were really seeing him for the first time, and he was very good with the ball on the ground. And both Drexel and Mount St. Mary's both are very good offensive lacrosse teams, so I was pleased overall with the play of the defense, and Clem's been a real spark for us.
Coach, we thank you for joining us for a few minutes tonight. Believe me, this will not be your last visit to Who's Talking this year. We need to have you back on as the season progresses, but we certainly thank you for joining us tonight.
I appreciate it very much, fellas.
And good luck this Saturday against Stony Brook. Big game up there in Long Island.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
All right, head coach Dom Starcia, the Virginia lacrosse team. Before we go to break, do you want to do the play of the game? Let's maybe plug that in right here. The play of the game, of course, sponsored by our friends, the Mark Foss Brown team at Keller Williams Realty. And I think we're jumping back to basketball for a moment for the play of the game.
It was a tough decision because women's tennis had their all-time greatest win, beating Baylor. Number three, Baylor.
I think you have a little bit of a tennis bias here.
I love tennis.
Mr. Frank Maloney, Mr. Tennis here.
Basketball is basketball, and swimming did some amazing things. But listen, let's go to basketball. Saturday's big win versus VPI at John Paul Jones Arena. Mustafa Farrakhan, Sammy Zaglinski, Joe Harris, and John Tell Evans. combined to milk the clock. They drained huge threes and made enough free throws to secure a season sweep of the Hokies. It's amazing how well both teams played coming down to the wire despite the short benches. I think Mustafa gets the Player of the Game award for returning after the scary fall in the second half, and he made some big shots and some free throws late. And I think Moo got the better of Delaney overall in the game, and there's something to be said for that for those two seniors.
Yeah, Delaney's a terrific player. You got to give him credit. And as I said earlier in the show, the concern when Mustafa first went down, I thought it might be a wrist injury, shoulder, something like that, that my initial fear he was going to be gone for the season, let alone the game. So I was really happy he was able to come back and play and make significant contributions coming down the stretch to the victory.
Where I was sitting, we could see him going into the tunnel. And I got my binoculars out because, just like one of those old reporters in the old days, I had to watch it. And, you know, I saw him kind of moving, really having a hard time with his shoulder and his chest. But I saw him fiddling with his wrist, and it looks like that's really the only real problem. Looks like he got the wind knocked out of him. But I tell you, when he first hit the floor, I thought there was going to be some broken bones.
Yeah, I was concerned because he hit the floor pretty hard. But fortunately, that was not the case. And Ethan Saliba and the medical staff was able to get him back together and back in the game pretty quickly, and played not only great defense but significant offense coming down the stretch to contribute to that Cavalier victory.
All right, I think at this point we're going to head to our break, and when we come back on the other side, we'll bring up Michael Tusky, and I'll jump in there too to talk about the winter and spring sports getting underway.